Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
I know we were going to try something like a little different this week to kind of shake up the beginning of the show. I get kind of a lower energy level from you from
Yeah, that's about right.
that. The Not a Thing podcast is back. We're on episode 110. That's a fun number. There's 10. That's a lot.
It's a lot of tens.
11 of them.
That's 11 of them. This
11-y
one goes to 11.
10s. Next week's is going to be fun, which should not deter you from listening to this week's at all.
Yeah, you could skip this one. This is going to be garbage. I'm sorry. I don't mean it. I'm just very sad right now.
Yeah, for those not actually, how would you describe knowing what we're talking about? I guess for those not like telepathic.
Let's just say we are recording this at approximately 10:45 p.m. on September 30th, the night that the Oakland A's lost the one-game wild card playoff in 12 innings, 9-8.
Oh.
This has been the Not a Thing Sports Report. I know we don't usually talk about sports on this podcast, but that little team from Oakland is.
I wouldn't say
I
not
mean,
normally. I mean, I think we've talked fantasy football before, and occasionally we talk like soccer for almost a whole episode.
So we've talked about sports for maybe 35 minutes or an hour of 110 episodes. It's a very small portion.
Okay, fair enough.
But I'm quite a big A's fan, and I have been my whole life, and I just feel like Charlie Brown with the universe pulling that football. I know that's mixing sports metaphors, but go with me here. We are now 0-7 of our last 7 deciding games in playoffs. So that's, game five, the last game of the deciding game in the series. And since this was a one game playoff for the wild card, we are now 0-7 of our last 7 through ridiculous turns of events. It was the greatest game I've ever seen and the worst game I've ever seen. All in one.
Oh, rough.
We had 2 innings to go, and we were winning 7-3. And I know I'm using we, even though I wasn't on the field. But I've devoted a lot of time and energy to that team. And also, I will. Well, I guess usually at the end we say what we've been drinking. But
Yeah.
I can start off saying I was enjoying the wonderful beverages from Lagunitas at the sports bar where I was watching the game. And I am now enjoying a Macallan 12-year single malt scotch. How about you, Alan?
I am having some of the leftovers of a bacon infused bourbon. Actually, it's the last gulp out of the bottle. So we had a bacon themed party over the weekend, and we made bacon infused bourbon. I actually think it turned out okay, but I don't recommend it. I think the whatever you think bacon infused bourbon might taste like, it doesn't quite taste like that. It tastes nice. It tastes like something, but I think the disconnect between what you might expect from the words bacon infused and what it actually tastes like is somewhat lacking. So there you go. Cheers.
Cheers. I don't want to clink the microphone. That
No,
would
no.
probably sound bad. Hold on, I gotta take another sip. This is gonna be a different one, folks.
So you were talking just before the show, and I saw you tweet that you thought there was a Midwest bias going on.
Yeah, People talk a lot about the East Coast bias of ESPN,
mm-hmm.
which makes sense because they're the Eastern Sports Network. But, you know, they're a national network, so they should cover everything equally. But they generally ignore teams like the A's and the Giants and pretty much any team on the West Coast because they've gone to sleep by the time the games are on. So they don't know what the hell they're talking about when they're talking about those teams. But tonight I ran into something a little different watching the game on the Turner Broadcasting Service, TBS.
Yeah, I don't know what the S is.
It's not system? Very funny. It might be system. You're right, it's system. But they have two of the worst play-by-play commentators I've ever heard. Ron Darling, you're not a thing. Ernie Johnson, not a thing. They were so bad, and this is a reference that not everyone will get, but I wanted to hear Joe Buck. That's how bad they were. They were homers on a – this is supposed to be a nationally broadcast network that covers – is you know, so that's not get one team getting biased over the other. They were being such homers for the Royals. I was shocked. The Brandon Moss hit two home runs, scored five RBIs, and did not. And they you know, told it. Now let's get back to talking about that Kansas City pitching. There's a Midwest bias, people. It's a thing that exists that should not be a thing. I can't hate the Royals. They were really good. We blew it. We blew it bad. You stole seven bases in a game. That yeah. doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that stat too. That's pretty awful. Oh.
It was two teams with amazing pitching staffs that scored a boatload of runs. So yeah, East Coast bias, not a thing. Midwest bias, not a thing. A's succeeding in the playoffs, not a thing.
We still recommend that you go out and read and or watch, probably and watch and read Moneyball.
I mean, you can do that. I have a podcast, I can announce this wherever I want. I will be burning Billy Bean in effigy. That's a thing. That's gonna happen.
No,
I'm gonna go egg his office. Any law enforcement officials listening to this, this is my confession.
Oh,
bring it.
I mean, it clearly is. I don't know. I don't like to think that it's like it's like that. Kind of thing that people playing mostly, it's mostly role playing games. Have you heard of min maxing?
Yes.
So there's sort of like this aspect of rather than like play for the enjoyment of a game or variety or whatever, you're trying to find the absolute like minimum that you can do to get by in certain areas and then which in theory would give you the maximum to do in other areas. And I feel like that while I think when it was working great, it was awesome. The whole idea of min-maxing on a like baseball level is kind of crazy, but at the same time, it's also really interesting to me. So I mean I hate that it kind of was born out in kind of like this, this like razor's edge. We're gonna make it kind of level, for the A's. But at the same time, the A's are still very good. It's not at all, it's not at all like they're skimping. I think that it's still. I think their algorithm needs a little crunching.
But, I think they need to use less algorithms and more baseball intangibles.
There we go.
It flies in the face of Moneyball.
Yeah, Yeah.
But if you look at the season, first half was one of the best first halves in the history of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And the second half, after they traded away their players, was one of the worst collapses in the history of Major League Baseball, a sport that's over 100 years old.
Well, again, I think that does kind of put a hole into a little bit of the theory. I think you're right. So what intangibles are you like looking for?
Well, I mean, the main one being team chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
No, and that's 100% a thing, right? I mean, even if you're like really not into like team sports at all, like everyone has worked on a team. Everyone understands that there is such a thing as you're on the same team because you have to be and you don't want to be there. And that performance like suffers. That shows through. Whether you actually want it to, you're not deliberately sabotaging it. You're just not doing your best.
When you trade two of your most successful players in the middle of the season, it sends a message to everyone on the team that it doesn't matter how good you do, you can get traded. Everyone is expendable.
Yeah, yeah.
And we could have a whole podcast on breaking down the collapse of the A's. We're not going to do that. That's not a thing. That happened.
Well, in other somewhat different, actually very different gaming news, I got a new game this weekend.
Oh, sweet.
It was my birthday last week, and as a kind of surprise, a coworker who I apparently still don't know left a copy of Star Wars X-Wing, the miniatures game, on my desk. Just kind of randomly. It was kind of a weird surprise. It's the core game, which means that it has enough for two people to play, but only pretty much play in this very kind of in the guidelines of the starter kit. So you can only play like one X-Wing versus two TIE Fighters, and there's a couple different ways to play it, but for the most part, it's just meant to be a teaser into the entire system, because if you want to play with any more depth than the way it's kind of set up, you pretty much have to buy more little guys. And I think that is, I mean, it's a good kind of gateway into it, in that you're, if you've ever like seen or heard of the other miniature games like Warhammer 40K or those kinds of games, there's a lot of miniatures to like break out and paint and do all this stuff. The X-Wing ones are already pre-built, and you're pretty much just like configuring how you're going to assemble your squadron or whatever. And it's much more, I think it's a lot more accessible than those kinds of games. And it also has that feeling of like a known thing, like Star Wars. I mean, pretty much everybody has that Star Wars kind of background noise, whether, you acknowledge those other non-movies that happened during the the late 90s or not. The whole thing about X-Wing, though, which I think was really interesting, is that its mechanic is based on dogfighting, and it's done with these little discs that determine like moves. You're either going to fly straight ahead, or you're going to fly off at an angle, or you're going to make a hard right turn or even a hard U-turn. And you set those moves in secret, and then simultaneously reveal them, and then they're all executed. And so that's kind of one phase. And then assuming that goes well, one or more or none possibly of you are in range of each other to actually like shoot. And so it becomes much more of a like It's, I mean, I'm not going to say at all that it's like as in-depth as, say, chess, but there is some aspect of, are you going to turn or are you going to fly straight ahead? Are you going to, like, fly the full distance that your craft can go or just part of the distance? Because the firing arcs are fairly short, so you have to kind of line up and know where you're going to point at the end of the move and kind of guess where the other person is going to move. It's based on a World War II dogfighting game called Wings of War, which I think is not in print anymore. So, you know, it has some pedigree about the mechanic, which I thought was interesting. I played just the core game with my wife, and it was fun. A little, it took longer than I expected for as simple of a game as it was. I don't know. I think the jury's still out on, you know, expanding it and playing with everything else. It's kind of an investment. They're a little, they have what I think are, what is neat is they have two scale ships. So they have the X-Wing and the TIE Fighter, and that's kind of the basic size. They also have a little, quote-unquote, Corellian, what's the word I'm looking for? Little transport, which they're just saying, oh yeah, it's not the Millennium Falcon, but it could be. And then they have the Corellian Corvette, which is the big ship at the beginning of Star Wars that's going away from the Star Destroyer. They have
the blockade runner.
Blockade runner, right? They have the a little I forget what they call it, but it's the Slave One ship for Boba Fett. And it's only a matter of time, I think, till they get like even more ridiculously sized ships. I'm just waiting for that super Star Destroyer that takes up the whole table to play. But it has that kind of collectible kind of craziness involved in it. But it looks like there is some kind of because the way that you determine how your squad is going to be based is there's this point value assigned to your ships, and so you can fudge your point value by taking, like, say, a lower point value character or pilot rather, or you can have a higher value. And that means you might not have as many ships or whatever. So there's some balance involved. I think I'm still trying to figure out if there's a way to do it without buying like $300 worth of little Star Wars things, which I kind of want to do.
Do it. Also, don't listen to me. I'm intoxicated. But do it.
But what's crazy is just today, and this is really prescient because we were talking about that kind of min-maxing kind of thing. There were people like giving suggestions for how to best set up your squad and how to buy it kind of on a budget. And it reminded me immediately of like, oh wow, this is awful. This is like people that are like, okay, well, I recommend you only buy these guys because these are what's used in all the tournaments, and this is how the top like 10 players play, and it might be a little expensive, but this is the best way to do that. And it's just wrong. It's like the reason, in my opinion, you would play this game versus, there's at least two others. Like I said, there's that Wings of War game, which I think is out of print, but there's actually also a Star Trek-based one, which I think makes more sense, because while dogfighting, I think, makes sense as a mechanic, because you do have to take turns. It's kind of slow. Things don't turn on a dime, etc. It fits better into a Star Trek universe where, you know, the Enterprise moves relatively very slow versus like the other ships. But in any case, the only reason to play this one is the theme, is that kind of the way to play the game, how the things, how it feels, not necessarily the mechanics or whatever.
And so Star Wars, that's why.
Right. So reducing it to just the pure numbers of it is just dirty and wrong. Not a thing.
But it's a fun game.
It is a fun game. And I recommend if you're going to try it out, go find a place where they're demoing it so you can see it for real. And then ask them to sometimes you can find a place to play that will kind of give you a tutorial, run them through it comes with a kind of starter rule set, which I think is very accessible and is easy to try out. At the same time, don't go invest right away, because that is the upside to it being the kind of game where you don't pay for everything all at once. You can kind of work your way up. That way you can really decide if you actually want to play it or not. I think the base set is good.
Yeah, that's why they call them expansion packs.
Yeah. Yeah. Although you pretty much, if you're going to play even like more than, let's say, twice in a month, you're going to want at least some expansion. So I think...
Well, I mean, how much Star Wars miniature playing are you planning on doing, Alan?
So
that seems like a reasonable amount of time to invest in the Star Wars miniatures.
Yeah. I think even what's really funny is even just moving the TIE fighters around on the board, you want to make that kind of kind of noise. It's
and you should. There's no reason not to. You're an adult. You can buy any toys you want, and you can make any noises you want when you do it. You could make an X-Wing that sounds like fart noises. I'm not saying you should, but you could.
Excellent.
Well, and if you do, please film that, because that would be very funny.
Well, what's, speaking of kind of reducing everything to numbers, and numbers really should not be the be-all and end-all of everything. Kind of in that vein, Microsoft announced their new operating system, Windows. Well, not that new. I mean, it's been around for quite a while now. But their new version of it, you may remember the previous version, the current shipping version, is 8.1. So you would think the next version might be a number bigger than 8.1, and it is, but that number is not 9. That number is 10, which is inexplicable, but...
Oh, I can explain it. Windows 8 is so bad, they had to skip another number before they put another number in there.
Is that like, doing Vista and then saying, oh no, Vista wasn't good, let's call it 7.
Yeah, that they had to change from a word to numbers.
And now it's just so bad they can't even like reconcile it. It's so I feel like their counting system is very poor. like it was Windows, and I kind of remember Windows, but not really until like 3, like Windows 3. And then there wasn't really a 4. They kind of had Windows NT for a little while, but that was more like the professional version of Windows. Like the consumer version went like Windows 3, XP.
No, you're missing.
Oh, 98.
95,
98. Yeah.
ME.
Ooh.
they make strong turns after a bad system.
It's worse than the Star Trek thing of like the odd numbers are bad. You can't even do that.
No, they know that. These are nerds.
Oh, that's why they didn't do 9.
Exactly.
Odd numbers are bad. Oh. We just figured it out, folks. We just figured it out. Well, in any case, have you heard at all about Windows 10? Like what they're trying to do? If there's,
I have not.
I had heard just one feature, which is that they're because their demos were very short. The way I understood it, it was more like, "Hey, we're doing this Windows 10 thing. See everybody later," and then they were off stage. So I think The one thing that I'd heard was that they're merging the kind of tablet-y thing and the Windows PC-ish kind of thing, which I think has been coming for a while. I think it's good that it's finally being kind of executed. It'll be interesting to see if it actually gets executed, because even right now, it's still confusing on the Windows Surface. Like, there's Surface RT and Surface Pro, and RT is their kind of tablet-y version that isn't like full-blown Windows, and then the Pro is Windows, but it's not. I don't know. There's still some differences between that, and I guess it's touch-enabled. So the main thing that they're doing is they're having it so when you're using it, you know, your PC as a PC, you know, it has a keyboard and everything, and then when you undock it from the keyboard and start walking around with it, it flips into a tablet mode, and in tablet mode, it assumes you don't want separate windows on the screen. It assumes you want every app to take up the full screen, which is pretty much how tablet apps work across all platforms. You might have the concept of an app switcher, but you're not going to have two apps on the same screen at once. And so they have those two different modes, and it seems very distinct. Like, the demo that they had was the guy undocks it from the keyboard, and then his app, which was in front, kind of just takes over the full screen. And I'm not sure. I think that, you know, having like a touch-friendly interface kind of assumes that you have single apps, but I feel like it doesn't have to. Like, I feel like you can have two apps at once, or there's a lot of reason to have multiple apps at once that you can either refer to or copy and paste from, or work on one while reading another or something like that. And I think it's kind of short-sighted to make that such a hard edge choice that if you're in touch mode, then you don't want that. I don't know.
That
are
makes
you
sense.
Are you into what do you think about the kind of tablet mode?
I'm not such a fan, but I don't have any Windows tablet type devices. I'm a clicker. I use Windows 7 on a daily basis, and have for many years.
Okay, I was worried you were one of the bad guys in The Last of Us.
See, I haven't played it.
Oh no! Okay, that's
darn PlayStation only.
Okay, all right. We'll skip over that. We'll skip over that. But well, yeah, Windows 7. It's, you know, they're very kind of mouse driven. It's like everything that Vista was supposed to be, kind of interface.
Yeah, it works fine for me.
Yeah,
for what I'm trying to do. Click on stuff.
Yeah, I still do prefer that over 8. I mean, 8 and even 8.1 still feel like they wanted it to be like a tablet OS, but then they like gave up at the last minute and said, no, Windows 7, sorry everybody. And it still doesn't feel right. It's still missing a lot of things. It's almost like it is like they screwed up.
it's the missing link of the computer world. Like, you know, you go between the different hominids. Where's the one in between? It was there somewhere. It's gone now because it was clearly garbage.
Oh, don't they already have like too many of those?
What, missing links?
Yeah. Vista, ME.
It's those half and half iterations that we kind of, it's got a tail. It doesn't need a tail, but it's got one. It's cross-eyed. It can't look straight at anything.
Well, speaking of being kind of cross-eyed? Hopefully not, but a company is kind of playing with that technology a little bit. It's a Kickstarter for I don't know what you'd call it, a wearable named Hat Trick, and it looks like a baseball cap. And
because it is,
yeah, pretty much. But it has like reinforcement to make the bill kind of be sturdy enough that because what they're doing is they're mounting your mobile phone on the underside of the brim. And so that in and of itself is a little nuts. But what they're doing further beyond that is they're adding a prism underneath that. So it's redirecting the view at the wearer's eyes. So what happens is the screen will be, in theory, superimposed into your field of view. So it's kind of like a budget Google Glass, if you want to think of it that way. But maybe less losery.
Is it though?
No, it's somewhat less it's obvious. Anyway, it is a baseball cap, and I think that prism won't be invisible. It will clearly be there, as a, you know, it's in your line of sight, and then I'm sure everyone else will also see it. But I think then the novel kind of bit about it is, while Google Glass costs, what was the last estimate? I think it was $1,500. Or at least the developer version, which in theory it will come down, but I don't know by how much. And I don't know when they'll actually release it to like normal people, nor whether it actually should be released to normal people. But in any case, the whole hat and everything else, they're essentially offering it on Kickstarter, which is almost like a pre-order. So it ends up being about $100, which for something to play with is a lot more accessible than $1,500. So I kind of am hoping that it doesn't necessarily have to take off and compete or anything. It would just be nice to have another platform that, if people are going to develop for these kinds of technologies, the platforms are cheap enough that people can just start doing it. Like, it's not going to be some, you know, huge company only that can develop for it. I still am not 100% sold on the implementation. I mean, it's a little clunky, but
it looks like a CD disk drive glued to your hat. I mean, it is cheaper, and sure, you can tell.
Yeah.
It looks like some kid's science fair project.
Yeah, you're right. It does look like, you know, someone with a few too many Legos kind of built something and was like, this is great. And
it's like, we don't have the backing of a major corporation like Google, but we have imagination.
Well, with any luck, those folks will be snapped up by someone. Hopefully not Google, but by somebody to...
Yeah, they'll probably get bought by Google and then shut down so as to not compete with Google Plus.
Not impossible. And I still think augmented reality is probably more... or probably closer to like widespread implementation than like virtual reality. I still think that the Oculus, while cool, they still haven't figured out enough stuff about it to make them comfortable to wear for any amount of time, let alone, you know, a long gaming session, which is what I was looking forward to anyway for the Oculus Rift. This is still potentially something that probably won't last kind of all day or even half a day or partway of a day, but it is... I think the idea of it has fewer barriers to overcome before like people adopt it. Unfortunately, one of those barriers is still that like creepy, I'm filming you all the time kind of feeling that I get when I see people with Google Glass on. Interestingly enough, that has actually seemed to reduce for me in the last month. or so. Like, I used to see that all the time, and then it's actually been slowly dropping off, I think, since we had some talk about it on the air, I think in May. I mean, that there were a couple high-profile cases of people getting, like, thrown out of bars and stuff like that, but that has, even those have died down, and I just don't see people wearing them as much in, like, Mountain View, so I don't know. Maybe people are coming to their senses, or maybe people are getting better about hiding them. I don't know.
You know, maybe I was wrong about this product. I see they have a section on their Kickstarter campaign for other styles of hats,
uh-huh.
And one is a sombrero.
Nothing says inconspicuous like a sombrero.
Oh, don't mind my Samsung Galaxy S5 glued to my sombrero.
If they can make it in sampan, I'm all over it. I would sell out my race to wear an augmented reality headset, I think.
Wow. That's beyond hashtag flat earth, Alan.
Well, in other kind of
hashtag Alan Sandpan VR.
Oh my god. Oh boy.
Get it trending.
Well, something that's definitely trending is cryptocurrencies. We've talked about them kind of on the show before. Bitcoin and the like. A lot of the other ones, not a thing. Dogecoin. Really? Really?
Dogecoin.
Anyway.
I want people to keep using Dogecoin as a pejorative. That's still a thing.
So there's those TBS announcers, bunch of Dogecoins, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Anyway, the cryptocurrencies are kind of back in the news a little bit because Reddit, you may have heard, just raised $50 million in funding, which is kind of a lot of money for a website that is a lot of dick jokes. But in any case, one of the things that the CEO said is that eventually they want to take Reddit public, and I think as a social media platform, it might be one of the more interesting ones, but I also don't think it's going to necessarily stand the test of time or anything. I mean, it is just kind of an interesting website. It has a lot of good stuff on it, but the way that the CEO wants to take a lot of the money that they've just raised is that they want to give that money back into the community in a way such that people will kind of give sort of money to each other. Now, there is kind of that aspect to it in the way that Reddit does its upvoting and downvoting. They have this kind of generic thing called karma, which is points that is based on, like, in your perceived value of, you know, to the community. Like, if you make a lot of comments or you post a lot of things that are liked or upvoted, then your score would be high. Your karma score would be high. If you are kind of generally a troll and give stuff to the community that they don't want, your points are negative or down. And so I don't think, I'm pretty sure this is a mechanism outside of the karma stuff, because I know the karma stuff can be manipulated a little bit, or there are ways that you can do that. So this is more like people giving each other tips or like thanking them beyond like an upvote. So I know that there's a mechanism for Reddit Gold, so it might be that or a replacement for that. But in any case, they want to pump actual money via a new Reddit-based cryptocurrency into Reddit. And I think this is somewhat of a good idea, because not because I think another cryptocurrency makes sense, because it surely does not. I think for cryptocurrencies to take off, I think standardizing around maybe one or two would be great. I think having them kind of all over just dilutes the value of them. And I mean, when I say dilutes, I mean almost nothing. By the way, the Bitcoin miner for the Not a Thing podcast, the estimate when we first started the show was, I think, 5 months to break even. Yeah. That estimate is now 8 months. So 2 months later, the estimate has gone up by 3 months. So cryptocurrencies, this is why cryptocurrencies aren't a thing yet. In any case, the Reddit cryptocurrency, I think, would be a good thing and is interesting as long as that value stays 100% within Reddit. That's fine with me. I think that that has some quote unquote value just on its own, because then it is a limited commodity that's only built into this system. I think there's some cachet in that. I think that's fine. I think having kind of a thing in the system would be great. I'm sure someone will figure out a way to hoard it and otherwise screw it up for everybody. So from that perspective, it may not be the best idea, but I think putting actual money into the system might make it more interesting and attractive. But I don't think they should, you know, blow what I thought was their first estimate, which was 10% of shares back into the system, because that's like $5 million. And I think that's kind of nuts. They should buy more servers that hopefully won't crash when the next wave of Jennifer Lawrence pictures like gets released or whatever.
No.
Well,
they should crash.
They should crash. They are not a thing, but I think they should. Their site should be able to handle that.
That's true.
Their site shouldn't handle it in terms of passing it along. It should handle it in terms of they should not have to.
From an ethical standpoint, not a thing.
Yeah.
From a technological standpoint, yeah, it should be a thing.
There we go. That's our stance on Jennifer Lawrence's pictures. And really everyone else. That whole thing is ridiculous. I think we haven't officially talked about the fappening, as the it's fappening, unfortunately called.
Yeah, that's one of the darker moments in humanity's history.
Yeah. Yeah. The internet is a wild and woolly place. You should not have to necessarily act like it is all the time. Is my kind of take on that.
And use your powers for good, people.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Where are we right now? We went out of order, didn't we? Okay,
you're
whatever.
You're the man with the plan.
Yeah, apparently.
You can't make me in charge of that.
Yeah, apparently, my plan also went out the window as we were drinking at the top of the show. So.
Episode 110. We're professional still.
We made it. So just to remind everyone out there, the show is still going, and we still love guests. We still do. If you would like to be a guest on the show, feel free to let us know via whatever channel you can find. We have Twitter, Facebook. We sort of have a Google Plus account. the website with email, however you want to let us know. We'd love to have you
on. Face-to-face. Yeah, even non-technological methods as well. If you want to send carrier pigeons, well, email me for my address and I will open my window.
If you want to send it via X-Wing miniature little figurines so I don't have to go buy them, that's 100% fine.
You'll need to stop smoking so much weed if you think you're going to send messages through X-Wings.
Well, in any case,
I wasn't saying that to you, Alan. I was saying that to a fictional person who's sending messages via X-Wing miniature. Just wanted to make that clear.
Oh, good. I'm glad. In any case, we want you on the show. We'd love to have you. As you can tell, the conversations range quite a ways. So I'm sure we could have you on and have a good day of it. So. Let us know if you'd like to support the show in any way. It's great. Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus buzz, mostly Twitter and Facebook. I know some people are on Elo. I'm not really yet, and I probably won't be, but, you know, that might be a topic for another time.
Any financial or, frankly, at this point, emotional support would be welcome in this dark time that we're living in. Next week, I'll be much happier. Don't worry.
Hopefully so.
Once I get a few football games in front of me, it'll be fine. It'll all be a bad dream.
Oh, maybe, I don't know. My fantasy football league is not going well this year.
The Americans are not doing as well. Can't we win at one thing? We're number one at not a lot of things. And that Norwegian, God bless him.
Excellent.
Skilled. He's a skilled competitor.
Yep. Yep.
A tip of the hat to you. You know who you are.
We'll have to have him on the show. We'll see if the schedules work out.
Yeah. I could pull an all-nighter. We can get on European time.
Keen. All right, Brendan. Well, I will get off the air and probably finish the rest of this drink, and I will talk to you next week.
Until next bottle, Alan.